Good morning.
Good morning.
How wonderful to be together. I mean, you all have been together, but I'm the one who hasn't been together. Coming home this past week, Carol said to me on the plane this past Monday, "That's enough travel. I don't need to go anywhere for a while." And indeed, we have been gone way too much. Back down to Virginia to take care of a bunch of family estate details that my brothers couldn't get to, and we're back. I think we're done. I'm done with traveling as far as I can tell, and can settle in and enjoy my long-term family, my real family. And come back just in time for some exciting things. Have you all congratulated the new grandparents yet? Or not new grandparents, but grandparents again? How about the new big sister? The Labudas, Karen Labuda had her baby Friday. And so Billy and Karen are parents for the second time, and Mackenzie's a big sister for the first time. Little Levi was born Friday afternoon at 3:50, so you can pray for that or visit or whatever. They're still in the hospital, obviously. Yeah, she's still over there. She was really tired yesterday. So yesterday wouldn't have been a good day for visit, but maybe today or tomorrow might be. So congratulate Rocky and Bonnie, and we're thrilled about that. We've got a bunch of people talking about traveling. We've got a bunch of people going a lot of different directions. The ones I want to highlight are those out working. We got folks out working. Stephen Younger is down in South America on another medical mission. I know that's been announced here and prayed for here, but that's exciting to me. Ramona Lee and Amanda Williams are working with the Ketchikan Church for the week. Their work starts tomorrow down there for that camp they're helping out with. Bill Williams is in Anchor Point speaking this weekend. And we got a bunch of members who've gone to South Anchorage for the speaker they've got this week. So you've got brothers and sisters out across the world. And who leaves tomorrow night? Somebody going somewhere tomorrow? Danny's flying out, and we're saying goodbye to her. Tomorrow night. Did you fly out tomorrow night, or she was just saying goodbye tomorrow? She flies out tomorrow night late. Okay. And we're saying goodbye to Danny tomorrow, 5 o'clock someplace. The announcements will be made. You'll hear about that. But we're getting together tomorrow evening as a farewell to our sister who's going out to Australia to work there with the church. It's exciting. It is exciting to be part of these things and to be a part of a church that just puts itself out in so many directions and wants to find more ways to work and to serve. It is very exciting. Let's go to our Father in prayer and then dive into His Word. God and Father, we praise You, and we want that our lives bring You praise and glory. We thank You for Your Word, perfect and powerful. It teaches us so much, everything we need for life and godliness. Father, we pray that in all things we obey You, that we know You and please You. Please help us to change from the inside out our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our lives, that we can be totally Yours. Father, help us to be real and help us in this lesson to get out of Your Word that which we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where's Brady? My small microphone. Is Brady around? He's back there somewhere. There it is. Thank you. We got Rebecca. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is awesome stuff. That's the point of the lesson. Faith is awesome. Amen. So I can sit down and you all read the New Testament and find out where it says it's awesome. Brother and I were talking about how we really want one-point lessons. If we can get one point, you know, from God's Word into our hearts every time we have a lesson, that'll be a lot. 3, 4, 5-point lessons, I don't know about that. Let's just learn one thing. And the one thing is faith is wonderful. It's awesome. It's powerful. It's great stuff. We're going to learn a few things about faith, and I hope to be practical with it. And the first one is right here in Hebrews. Now, you read the definition, and we're not going to spend any time there in Hebrews 1:1. But I want you to notice Hebrews 1:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is your faith that pleases God. You cannot, no matter how wonderful your works are, no matter how active you are with your church, no matter how terrific you are with your love, if it is not an item of faith, if you are not a person of faith, if you do not have faith, you're not pleasing to God. That love you're giving is based on your own. That good stuff you're doing is for your own benefit, or maybe your kindness is for somebody else's benefit. But if it's all being laid out there without faith, it's not to God's benefit, and it's not to His purpose. So we have got to be people of faith, and our actions need to be actions of faith, and our lives need to be lives of faith. That's part one of why faith is awesome. Part two, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bibles. Get your Bibles. We need to be people of the Word. Move to 2 Corinthians. Get your pen out, your chapter out. I didn't bring it up here. Over at one of the bookstores here, it'll remain nameless because I'm not going to do any commercial advertising here, but a young lady who's standing up here signing works there. They sell these really terrific little journals, and they're only like $2.99. They probably have them in other big stores around here. Just a couple of dollars. You can get a little book, a bound book, a journal. Carry it right with your Bible. And when somebody's teaching Bible class, you turn to the next blank page, you write the date at the top, the subject at the top, and you start taking notes. And then when you're done with that year and that book, you put it on the shelf, and you can go back and say, oh, I remember a lesson on that. Yeah, back in June, we talked about, what was that verse? Because if you hear something, you learn it to a certain level. If you hear it and see it, like if I had a PowerPoint or something going on, you learn it to another level. If you hear it and see it and write it down, you learn it to another level. And if you hear it and see it and write it down and then read it again, you learn it to a totally new level. And then you're more able to put it in gear in your life, which is the ultimate part of learning, and that is the doing. So let's read the word together and go out. Give each other those as gifts. Go buy journals and as gifts and give them to each other so that we can be people who take notes and pay attention to the lessons God has for us. We'll learn why it's not me speaking is the reason you should take notes. We'll see that in a minute. It's not because I'm teaching that you should take notes. That is a lousy reason to take notes. But it's because God's Word is teaching. That's a good reason. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. I'd like to start in verse 1, but I get too long doing all that. Therefore, always being of good courage. This is our year of courage, if you remember. Bill and I have been trying to teach lessons that direct us toward courage because it's what he and I need. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, having as our ambition, whether at home, that means back in heaven, whether we're home, where we're supposed to be, and that is heaven, or absent, and that's where you are now, you're not home. I know I'm not home. I'm sitting in the auditorium at church. No, no, no. You're not home here. You're at work. This is work. Home is in heaven. When we get home, then you can sit down and rest. But we're at work still. So while we're absent, our ambition is to please Him. Okay. First part of faith is faith is required. You've got to have faith to please God. The second part of faith is we don't walk by sight. We're not people who have to see and to be proven things. We are people who trust God. We are people who let faith guide our walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we follow the invisible. Do you notice that Hebrews 11 said that that everything you see was made out of that which is invisible? You just read that a minute ago, but that's another lesson. You see, walking by faith is liberating. It's really liberating. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to plan everything out. We have somebody who guides our lives. We have somebody who loves us even more than we love ourselves. And that's a lot. God calls us to walk by faith, not by being proven things, not by having to watch other people figure things out. You know, one of the dumbest things we can do is go to the school of hard knocks, is go to the school of, oh, I had to make every mistake in the book, but I finally figured it out. We carry that as a badge of honor. We carry that as a badge of pride that, I probably made every mistake you can make out there. And, you know, I'm getting on in years, but I finally... Well, you don't have to do that. That's really dumb. Do you need to put your hand on the top of the stove when it's on to figure out it's hot? Do you need to hit yourself in the head with a rock to know that it hurts? You need to wrap your car around a tree to know that you shouldn't have an accident in a car. No. God doesn't lay these things out in front of us for us to ignore. And after we bashed our lives up into pieces, we come crippling, limping on back and say, oh, you were right. Boy, that was a mistake. Okay, Lord, you and me. Now, he'll take you. He'll always, lovingly, he'll bind up your wounds. He'll take you back. And at some point, we've all done that. But we don't need to keep doing that. We are people who walk trusting in God. When he says that your marriage ought to be guided and patterned this way, we look at it and sometimes go, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to try it this way. And when it's crumbling and in pain and your heart's broken and you don't know what to do about it, that's not the right way to do this. We are people who walk by faith. All right. Third point. James. James chapter 2. Verse 17. Faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, I want to read all the rest of James chapter 2 there, because before that, he talks about giving somebody who's hungry food and giving somebody who's cold clothing or naked clothing. And after that, he talks about Abraham taking his son Isaac by faith and offering him to God as two aspects of this, as proof that faith is not without action. So the first point is, we have faith. We've got to have faith to please God. The second point is we're walking by faith, not by sight. The third point is, our faith is active. The third part of this awesome faith is that our faith must be active. Passive faith is not faith. Going to church doesn't count. Oh, I know that's part of it. But you see, if all we're doing is walking this little patterned track of, you know, we pray before our meals and we read our Bible every week and we don't go to R-rated movies and we show up at church when the doors are open and then we pray before our meals and then we read the Bible every once in a while and then we do the right thing and then we go to church. That's not a life of faith. That's a life of of interest in Christianity. That's a pattern. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about finding people in need and caring for them like you guys do. Making sure there's nobody in need. Finding the hungry and feeding them. Finding the cold. Finding the confused. Finding the hurt. Finding the broken hearts. And touching and caring for them. Finding the lonely and sitting with them. That's the one side of the active faith. The other side of the active faith is taking your life and the life of your family and laying it out before God and saying, we're sacrificed to you. Sacrificing your family and your comfort. We have to have faith to please God. First part of an awesome faith. We follow faith, not what we can be seen and proven. The third part is our faith is active. The fourth part, Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 21. You should underline this verse. It connects us to so many different thoughts. It's really an incredible verse in what Jesus is telling us. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I'll declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We have to have faith to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Our faith must be active, but our faith must be active in the things of God. Not religious things. You see this pattern that Jesus warns about. People who call Jesus Lord. People who have lots of action around their life in claiming it to be for God and about God and for Christ. Didn't I do a lot for you, Jesus? No. No, I don't even know you. But I fill in the blank. You see, not only do we have to have an active faith, but we have to have an active faith doing God's will. It's a common mistake that we line for ourselves the things that we like, the things that we're comfortable with, active things that look and sound religious, but aren't following the Word and aren't following the will of God. Our active faith has to be about God's business, doing His will. It is so easy. We are so trained. We are so patterned to do our own will. This whole walk of ours is a lot like. The following statement, I'll make a disclaimer. The following statement is not meant to be critical of the Alaska State Fair nor any participants of the Alaska State Fair. I actually happen to like the Alaska State Fair, and I'm using this as an example only as an allegory in comparison to life. Okay. My lawyer told me I had to say that. I don't have a lawyer. Okay. Our walk in life is a little like walking through the State Fair. Most of us have done that here. And as you walk through the noisy, crowded pathways around the State Fair, everybody on each side wants your attention. Come on over here. Here you go. Shop over here. We got these things. You got to come in our store. You got to pay attention to our thing. Roll the ball. Watch the hamster run in the hole. Come on. Join us. Go this way. Go that way. They're all grasping for your attention. Right? I know, we got a booth there too, you know. Hello, come on over here, spin the wheel. We're all grasping for your attention. Because they love you so much. And I'm not picking on anybody in the state fair. My statements are not meant to be derogatory of any participant of the Alaska State Fair nor anybody there. I'm not picking on anybody, okay? But what do the stores down the highway want from you? Your money, okay? The advertisements are so that you come in and buy something from them. Come on in here. Buy our stuff. Or, you know, sign our political statement. Or whatever. Paint your face. So it's a lot of people trying to get your attention. And then there's the whole ride thing. Come ride this ride. Buy these tickets. Go here. Got slow rides, I got fast rides. I got high rides, I got slow rides. You need some thrill in your life, don't you? We got rides for the kiddies. We got rides for the adults. You want to go high in the air? You want to go low to the ground? Tickets are only $1 a piece. Or you can get them on sale for $20 for $25. Right? Don't they do that? The tickets, well, I'll buy a lump of them. It cost me more to buy the lump than it, wait a second, how did that, it's something like, it's close to that anyway. There's hardly a discount when you buy a group of tickets. Well, you need some thrill in your life. You either need to come over to this booth and pay money or buy this or gamble on that, or you need to ride this ride. Or the other part of the fair, of course, is you need to eat this stuff. Now that's why we all go to the fair. I'll pay $15 to pay $5 for a cream puff, won't you? I think there's six, by the way. Cream puffs, funnel cakes, turkey legs, right? Turkeys are already lined up for those legs. Dipped ice cream cones. And that's what life is like. You're walking down a pathway. You need to eat this stuff. You need to buy this stuff. You need this thrill in your life. And all the while, God is saying, I've got something better for you. I've got something else for you to do. The older you get, the more empty you realize that the stuff is at the fair. For a youngster, Dad, wow. Can I dip my hand in the wax? I'll have that forever, for the rest of my life. When you're a kid, it's just fantastic stuff. And when you're a teenager, it's still awesome, because then you can dip your hand with your sweetheart, right? I'm not picking on anybody who's got a colored hand at home, all right? I'm not picking on the state fair nor any aspect of the state fair. I'm simply using it as an allegory. I'm not picking on any of that. It's all fun. I like that stuff over there. I'm simply saying that we can see as we look back that it's very temporary. It's very surfacey. And that's the way our life is. And God is saying, I've got something else for you. It's a walk of faith. It's different. It's not the same as all that stuff. You see, we've got to be active, not just active, but active in God's will. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and in my message and my preaching. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who did that? I knew there were turning pages out there.
Chapter 2.
I had the 1 and the 2 there. They just had them in the wrong place. Okay. 1 Corinthians, I told you listening to me is not a reason to take notes. I like it when I prove to be right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm not going to read it all again, all right? Came to you, I did not come spirit of speech, sermon, no, nothing among you. For I was with you, verse 3, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages for our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. The fifth part of our awesome faith is our life of faith will be very strange to the world. When people are saying, come try the cream puffs, you need to ride this ride, go bet on the hamster running in the right hole. When people from every direction are saying, you need to join us, you need to do this, you need to do that, come on, come with me. You're saying, no, I'm not going to do any of that. I have something else to do. Our walk with God is going to look and sound and seem very strange to the world. You see, our faith doesn't rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. If you needed and were supposed to get a really dynamic, persuasive speaker, if I could do that, let's just pretend for a minute I was a decent speaker, okay? If I could do that and I was really good, I could really lay it out, I could tell you why Jesus was crucified, I could explain his eternity with God beforehand and his eternity with God afterhand. I could explain the combining of the human Christ and the infinite deity of Christ. If I could show you the love of God, if I could really sell it, all you'd need is the next guy up the road who could really sell you on something else. Better salesman you are, Robert. We're going somewhere else. This guy sold me a Ford truck. That was a whole lot better than you made the gospel sound. Well, okay. You see, it's not based on how good the teacher is. It's based on how incredible the message is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians, I think I got this one right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this age, verse 4, the God of this world, or the God of this age, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who's the God of this age? Satan himself. Satan has blinded people. And so when you turn to follow Christ in not doing what they're doing, and by the way, the New Testament has a lot to say about not doing and how surprised people will be that you're not doing what they're doing. They won't understand. It won't make sense. Your life is not going to mesh with the world. Don't look for a popular, pleasant life on this globe. And I think it's only going to get worse. I don't mean to be a person of doom, but in the past decade, being a Christian has gotten to be a dumber and dumber and dumber thing in our society. This past weekend, a creation museum, and I am not endorsing saying the creation museum has everything spelled out right, but there was a creation museum opening up somewhere down in Tennessee or wherever it opened up, and I ran into a half dozen articles in the papers and in the electronic news ridiculing the creation museum. on how dumb it must be to really believe that stuff. Homosexuality becomes more and more and more a required part of our society. Those of us who say, no, it's a sin and should be repented of, are going to sound dumber and dumber and dumber. We're going to be ridiculed and maybe taken to court. I don't remember the name of the company. It's certainly not a Christian group, but it's a company online that you find your mate. You know, it's one of these sign up and, you know, it's Lonely Hearts. You know, it's electronic Lonely Hearts online thing, right? You sign up and say, I'm a good-looking lady, and they find a good-looking guy that matches you and all that sort of thing. Well, they're designed to do that, men and women, women and men. There's a woman in California taking him to court because she's looking for women, and they won't line her up with women. She's going to sue them and probably win because they're discriminating, because it's designed to match up men and women and women and men. You're going to look dumber and be ridiculed more and maybe fired from your job based on your stance on these things. Your walk of faith will not look like, will not match, will not be understood by the world around you. Expect it. Look for it. The God of this age has blinded. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. It doesn't mean we're smarter. That doesn't mean we figured it out. It simply means we're grasping onto God, not the world. There's a lot we haven't figured out. But we have faith in God who has figured it out. We trust His Word that is true and right. Oh, there's so much more I want to read in 1 and 2 Corinthians, but we don't have time. What shall we say then? Romans 9, verse 30. That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith, but Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. Do not look for answers. Do not be obeying God out of a rote bit of obedience. Obey God because you trust Him and believe in Him and want to follow Him. How did the Gentiles who weren't following the law find salvation in Christ, and the Jews who were diligently and carefully and to the best of their ability following the law get left out? Because the Gentiles were better than the Jews? No, is what he says. Because they walked by faith. They acted in faith. They followed in faith. They came to Christ in faith. Faith is awesome. Look for it to guide every part of your life. Don't buy a house. Don't go into how do you walk by faith when you buy a house? Well, you walk by faith when you buy a house by moving into an area or looking at an area and saying, Lord, how can I best serve you here? Where does the church meet? You find where the church is meeting and say, okay, well, I want to be able to be influential in that area. How can I buy a house in a way that will please and be useful to God? How can I find a husband in a way that will be pleasing and useful to God? How can I find a wife? How can I be a father? We walk by faith, not by sight, so that our lives are patterned by faith. Faith is awesome. Faith is incredible. Faith is truly life and world changing. One, you've got to have faith to please God. Two, you're following the invisible, the unseen, not to see. Three, faith is active. Four, faith is active in what God teaches us to do. Five, your faith is going to be very strange. Your life of faith is going to be very strange in the world. You might remember those 5 points. You might not. But I want you to remember that faith in God, trusting faith in God, is awesome. It's great stuff. When you act in faith, you remember it. When God responds to your faith, you remember it. When you do that, you're blessed. You're blessed incredibly, and you're excited to tell people how your prayers are being answered, how your life is being changed, how your family is being renewed, because it's a life of faith. By the way, as an unabashed commercial, we're starting a parenting class to have families of faith this coming Wednesday night. There are these flyers at both doors if you're interested. Christian parenting class during our class time on Wednesday nights, to have families and parenting done by faith. Step out there farther on faith. Go on. Try it. It's awesome stuff. If any today have not been baptized into Christ, if your faith hasn't brought you to Him, to obey Him, to be part of Christ, if you're ready to be baptized into Him, we'll help you with that. If you have that need or any need, let us know while we stand and sing. The song's selected.